In this episode, I am speaking with my good friend, Steve Harper. Steve is a serial entrepreneur, professional speaker, author, and leading business strategist. Steve has successfully uncovered the secret to creating powerful, long-lasting connections and their impact on one's personal and professional life. Steve is the ultimate connector, and he does this amazingly well despite being a big-time introvert. Cue the music.
Welcome to the Repurpose Your Career podcast, brought to you by Career Pivot. This podcast is where those of us in the second half of life come together to discuss how to repurpose our careers for the 21st century. Come listen to career experts give you proven strategies. Listen to people like you tell their stories on how they repurpose their careers. And finally, get your questions answered. Your host, Mark Miller, has made six career pivots over the last 30 years. He understands this is not about jumping out of the frying pan into a fire, but rather to create a plan where you make clear, actionable steps or pivots to a better future career. Are you ready to repurpose your career?
Welcome to episode 318 of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. My name is Mark Miller, and I'll be your host every Monday for discussion on what it's like to repurpose your career. In this episode, I'm speaking with my good friend, Steve Harper. Steve is a serial entrepreneur, professional speaker, author, and leading business strategist. Steve Harper has successfully uncovered the secret to creating powerful, long-lasting connections and their impact on one's personal and professional life. Steve is the ultimate connector, and he does this amazingly well despite being a big-time introvert. After having Kurt Schmidt, the author of The Little Book of Networking, in episode 315, I wanted to bring Steve Harper on to discuss the art of building relationships. Here is Steve's bio from his website. A serial entrepreneur, professional speaker, and leading business strategist, Steve Harper has successfully uncovered the secret to creating powerful, long-lasting connections and their impact on one's personal and professional life. Over his 30-year career, Steve has maintained a unique focus on developing strong, long-lasting connections with his clients, prospects, employees, and friends. He's honed his unique ability to foster relationships into a strategy for achieving solid business success. The strategy represented in his book, The Ripple Effect, is the backbone of his signature 8-minute ripple events, speaking, podcasts, courses, coaching, and online communities. Steve's unique and refreshing approach to how and why individuals, organizations, and even our society must reach outside the box to connect is changing lives and impacting corporate bottom line dollars. This episode is sponsored by the Career Pivot community, but more on that later. Now let's get on to my conversation with Steve Harper. Welcome to the Repurpose Your Career podcast. I have the real joy of having my buddy Steve Harper. And Steve, I wanted to have on because he's the ripple effect guy. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me, Mark. It's A, it's good to see you. B, I love anytime you introduce me because it's going to be something that's guaranteed to make me smile. So thanks for that.
Okay. So what is the ripple effect?
Well, in short, any action, big or small, that makes an impact on another person, right? You know, we're all familiar with the that imagery of picking up the stone and tossing it in the pond. You know, that stone is our action, and that splash really is how big of an impact we make. We don't know how deep it goes. We don't know how far and wide. We do know that the ripples ripple out, but most people don't realize that they also ripple back to you, and that's a important aspect, that everything that we do has a ripple effect. Every conversation we have, every decision we make, how we respond or react to individuals when we have the opportunity to be engaged in conversation, there's a positive or a negative ripple effect at work, and really is up to us in terms of how we want that outcome to be.
Yeah, I have quoted you many times about that. And one of the things
thank you.
One of the things I add is, when those ripples go out, will they come back? And the answer is sometimes they will. Sometimes they won't. But when they do come back, they usually come back when you least expect them.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually have a tendency to believe they always come back. We just may not necessarily see it in what context. You know, it could be that somebody was watching our action and how we interacted and really, you know, learned something about you as an individual. They could see the good deed that you did where you weren't doing it because, you know, you were looking for that credit or looking to get the pat on the back, but it was the right thing to do. And oftentimes, I think from a lot of perspectives, it's things that we do, the seeds that we plant today that come back to us many years down the road. And I'm a living proof of that in every aspect of my entrepreneurial journey.
During the pandemic, we all went inside our homes and we kind of cloistered. Now that we're coming out, when people are uncomfortable getting out, how can they become more comfortable? What can they do?
That's a great question. I will tell you, I'm living proof of one of those people that doesn't, feel naturally comfortable out there in the wild. I wrote this book on networking, and networking is my least favorite activity, to be perfectly honest with you. I'm very shy and introverted. And so for the shy and introverted among us, the pandemic was like, oh my God, this is great. Only for a period of time. And we realized that we too need people and we need to engage. And for the extroverts, it was like the most painful experience ever because they're so used to getting their energy and their enthusiasm from being around people and the hubbub of that. And I think for those folks that are struggling to get back out there, I think one of the ways that you have to, recognize that nothing happens in a vacuum, whether you're looking for your next career move or you're trying to figure out what you want to do with your life. Very few of us get the pleasure of being able to work or live in a vacuum. We depend on somebody else for our success, for our happiness, for our personal satisfaction, and even, believe it or not, our overall, health and happiness. We need other people. And so for me personally, being introverted and shy, it was no longer an excuse that I could leverage. It wasn't a crutch. And obviously, as an entrepreneur, that's just not a crutch you can lean on, period, right? So for those that really struggle with it, the one thing I suggest is you've got to just find some place to go engage, be a part of something, whether that's hanging out at your local public library, finding a networking event that doesn't feel too salesy or too icky, which I know can be very difficult. A lot of times you can find how to dip your toe in the water with some of the online groups, right? You know, some of the things that you've done in the past where people who didn't know each other got together and got to learn from one another, have conversations. That becomes a little bit easier segue to saying, hey, maybe I would like to get together with Mark, have a cup of coffee, share some ideas. It's figuring out what really works for you and then participating. I think part of the problem that most people run into that are really anxiety driven to avoid those things is they may have tried it once. Most of the time it's a networking event, which can be just overwhelming for anybody anyway, but you go out and you're like, it didn't work for me. I'm going to stay back here and just, kind of stay in my shell. And the reality is just because you had one bad experience doesn't mean that that's an experience that you're going to experience in any other capacity. Volunteering, doing something for a nonprofit, volunteering at your local elementary school to go read, a book to, the kindergarten class. Anything that helps you just get your footing out there to connect can help in such a huge way.
Yeah, I remember back in, I think it was 2019, pre-pandemic, I was up in Austin, I was presenting at Launchpad, and doing a talk on ageism. One of the things I talk about is you need to network down with younger people. And, sure. And there was one gentleman who got up and said, yeah, I volunteered for the Beto O'Rourke Senate campaign. And he was suddenly exposed to younger people that he had never experienced before. So his attitude about it changed.
Sure.
And so I said, okay, find something to volunteer for that you believe in. And most people don't think of that as networking.
Right.
But exposing you to people that you wouldn't ordinarily hang out with.
Correct. Yeah.
So,
take a class, do something, right? That gets you around other people. And that, I believe actually the people that are destined to show up in your life, they cross your path at exactly the time that they're supposed to. And it's very rarely prescriptive. It's usually not at the event. It's not at the conference. It's standing in line at the grocery store and striking up a conversation. It's going to the same coffee shop every day for the same, amount of time. You see the same faces and, venturing outside your comfort zone to strike up a conversation. when I was, you know, early on as an entrepreneur and being shy and introverted, one of the ways that I sort of queued myself up, if you will, to go out and do the whole cold calling thing that I had to do way back when was actually to go spend some time at the coffee shop and build up my courage to start a conversation with somebody that was there. That kind of primed me for, okay, you know, if I can do it here, I can do it out there. And those kinds of, you know, those kinds of things, I know it's one of those, you know, activities that I don't think a lot of people talk about, but that is the perfect way to engage. Cause I made some of my best connections. Some of my best business relationships came from quote unquote strangers I met in coffee shops or, you know, in elevators or waiting, in line at the bank, right? There, I have stories that I could probably tell you in almost every aspect that you would think wasn't networking environments. However, getting an opportunity to have a conversation, catching somebody's eye and attention, having the wherewithal to at least start a conversation and potentially finding an avenue to keep that conversation going, that's where the great things come. And I think a lot of these situations where people are kind of forcing down these rabbit holes where they think their best business opportunities or the next job might be, they're not always what you think they are. And I think that's part of it is, you know, living in this world, we live in a relationship-driven society, which means it's a contact sport, and you can't just expect things to happen without you making them happen.
Yeah, actually, it was interesting. May a year ago, I was back in Austin, and I was a keynote speaker at a financial conference. And so I showed up the day before just to hang out and see what the venue looked like. It was at the Marriott downtown. And I walked into the coffee shop. I needed throat lozenges because your damn pollen in Austin was going nuts. The oak pollen was horrible.
I was going to say, yeah, you were right at the worst time of the year, probably.
And so I'm standing in line and I'm got a cup of coffee and my Ricola throat lozenges. And the guy in front of me turned around and I said, "So why are you here? Why are you attending this conference?" And we then went off and had a 20 or 30 minute conversation. And it just started with a question.
I'm a huge believer that you equip yourself with questions. I call them the ripple connection questions, but I've had questions that are so much better than, "So what do you do, Mark?" Yeah. Right? That tells you people are there either trying to assess you as a prospect or a victim for whatever their product or service is, or, you know, they're trying to, you know, figure out what your angle is. But figuring out that you're at a conference, what inspired you to be here? What are you hoping to learn? I've not been to this conference before, so what should I check out? You know, what do you recommend? Have you attended this before? Where did they hold it last year? Where do you think they'll hold it next year? These are all conversation door opportunities, opening door opportunities, I should say. And I think that's where the value is. I spoke at an event, you know, very similar to you last week, actually, for an education conference. And I was asked as the keynote speaker to, you know, come out the day before, do the, you know, the networking happy hour that they were doing. And I started with the question when I had people engaged. I said, "What do you love most about what you're doing?" Right? Not what do you do, you know, not trying to get the particulars. I didn't even care, but what motivated you to be in this? Happened to be for an education foundation. And many of these people had fascinating stories. And what was great for me is being shy and introverted is it kind of puts the spotlight on them. They're talking and it's the topic they're most comfortable with because it's about them. But you're picking up all these things. I call them connection points, you know, these little bite-sized morsels of information you learn about people. But that becomes your opportunity to continue to get to know them with very little effort. And for those people that really struggle to get out there and have conversations, this is one of the best strategies ever because you can really get to know somebody. And believe it or not, even if you haven't said all that much, they feel like they know you because you built that rapport with them so quickly. And it was just amazing. And I remember one lady coming up, she had no idea I was the keynote speaker the very next day. And she said, "I feel rooked. I didn't know that you were the keynote speaker until you got up on stage." And she said, "I've come to these things before and people, you know, they walk around, these keynote speakers walk around like they own the place and, you know, they're God's gift." And she said, "You were just so interested and, you know, so humble and kind in terms of how you started the conversation with me." And she said, "I would never in a million years have thought that." And it's like, yeah, well, that's what it takes to make really good connection with people.
We have a mutual friend, Tom Singer. And Tom says the introverts make the best networkers because they're good at asking questions. And I was a regular at Metropolitan Breakfast Club when I lived in Austin for about a dozen years. And whenever I meet someone the first time, I'd always ask him, how'd you get to Austin? Because no one was from Austin.
Correct. Especially now. Yeah.
and it's always interesting because you end up learning there's a certain strain of questions that you can ask. Because sometimes someone would say, yeah, I followed a gal or a guy here. So my next question is always, are you still with them? Which the answer is usually no. But the idea is to keep asking questions until I find something we have in common.
Yeah.
And then we can
absolutely.
And then we can go off into what do we have in common.
That's right. I mean, if you can find the one thing, that one connection point, that's like pure magic, because that's the one thing now that you've established. I liken this to the, you know, it's not their job title. It's not their job responsibility. It's not even what they do for, you know, for work, right? It's about a little bit something that makes them who they are, and it makes them unique to you, which makes it even more memorable, I think. And I think that the power networkers, and we know several that are there purely because they're trying to, you know, make a quota in terms of the number of people they talk to or the business cards they collect, or you just feel like there is a process and it's a very succinct and direct process. That's not human connection. Human connection is about you and I doing exactly what we're doing now. It's what you and I've done every time we've interacted. We give each other a little bit of grief. We always have a share with each other, but we always pick up exactly like it was, you know, like we saw each other yesterday, which is amazing because that's what good connectors can do. And I think one of the challenges with professional networkers is they have to go through this prescriptive, you know, kind of approach because they don't really ever think outside the box. They don't really have the right kind of motivation. They're trying to grow their business and they're trying to, you know, go through the process. They're not really interested in getting to know you or myself, right? And that's the problem. And so for me, being an entrepreneur since I was 22, you know, finding a different path forward to get people to have conversations, even introverted, was the best way forward. But the two things that I find that even introverts aren't good at is they're not good at retaining the information and they're not really good at leveraging it, right? Because they're introverted. So I figured out really quickly that I have to take very copious notes because those things do, as much as we would like to think we're going to remember it, we won't. And at the end of the day, we always need that little nudge to start the conversation. So going to an event, having a conversation with you, learning about your book as an example, or your passion for helping people in this next chapter of their lives, finding a unique way to start that next email or pick up the phone and say, Mark, you know, something you said at that event a week ago has just stuck with me. And let me tell you why. Now, all of a sudden, you're in. Like, you're like, oh, my gosh, what, you know, this really made a difference to you, because nobody does that. They might say, hey, Mark, let's get together for lunch so we can figure out a way to collaborate, or how I can, you know, help you help yourself, or whatever it is. There's always that push. But when you and I get together, we say, hey, you know, this is something that really stood out and it was important to me and I wanted you to know it. It's like honoring you in such a way that's so powerful.
This episode is sponsored by the Career Pivot Membership Community. The Career Pivot Membership Community is a group of people from all over the U.S. and Canada with diverse backgrounds. This is a community where everyone is there to help everyone else out, figure out what they want to do in the second half of life, and then make it happen. Many have made changes that they did not know existed or was possible when they came to the community. They learn from each other and broaden their horizons on what was really possible. Let's hear what Dean had to say about being part of the community.
First of all, just you never know. There's always just a little push over the line to get you started, right? So when I first joined the community, the idea then was I'm in this particular job and I don't want to stay at this particular job for the rest of my life. And so whatever that push needs to be, it still needs to be there. And I need to try to figure out what that is. I can remember we were over the weeks that we've been doing community meetings, you know, people saying, hey, look, I could listen to your book, or I think you would do good at doing voice work. So that encouragement, I think that's been good from the community, is just to be able to talk to people, hear their opinions. I know that for example, we were talking about the first book I did, and I remember, Mark, you were like, well, you know, some of the reading was a little monotone, and it was, you know, but it didn't hurt my feelings. I mean, I agree with you, right? I mean, it was, again, it was my first book. It is what it is. And things like that are good to have, I think. And I think if somebody's looking to be a part of the community, that's one of the things they can look forward to with this.
You can't just join the community. I bring people into the community every few months in groups. You can sign up for the waiting list, so when I open the door for new members, you'll be notified. If you're interested in learning more about the Endeavor and sign up for the waiting list, please go to careerpivot.com/community. Now, back to the episode. Yeah, one of the things I remember 2 years ago, it's interesting, May seems to be this month, but we went back to Austin for 28 days so we could get vaccinated. And so I had 26 coffee meetings in 28 days. And I found that my active listening skills had gone to flunk. I got to be careful. Can't use dirty words on
podcasts. I'm thinking funk is not a good... A thunk is not a good level.
No.
I'm just clarifying.
And I realized after about the third or fourth that I just hadn't practiced. And I very often will paraphrase or things back, because that's to make sure I actually heard what you said. Because one of my challenges is I hear you, but I don't really hear you. Right?
Right.
And so I know the fact that if I paraphrase back, it actually gets me to think about what you just said, and which is one facet of active listening. Well, I had just gotten out of practice completely.
Yeah.
So the next time I sat down with somebody, actually it was somebody I have known for a long time, I just said, okay, I'm going to go in there and practice. And I'm a lousy notes keeper. It's one of those deals of where that's the way I kind of force myself to remember stuff.
Oh, I mean, it's you bring up a really valid point, right? That, you know, the skill of listening is one thing, but actually hearing is, I think, you know, the active listening is really important, but you can't really listen unless you're hearing what goes behind the emotion, the motivation, and the drive. And the problem with a lot of connecting today, where it's all surface, where, hey, so Mark, how was your day? Oh, it was good. You know, been busy. You know, it's superfluous BS. Yep. Nobody cares, right? And which means that because nobody cares, nobody tunes in. And the reality is having a better, more authentic question strategy is critical. Being fully present in that conversation, in that moment of time, whether it's a 3-minute conversation or whether it's an hour long lunch, you have to be committed. And that means that you take preparation. You come with questions. You come fully prepared mentally to be in the moment and say, what can I always strive to push myself to ask the questions. What can I learn about Mark during this conversation? And if I put my mind right and I say, okay, I do want to learn something. So what's that going to be? What I learned last time? What were the connection points we had from our prior conversations? What do I want to, you know, experience in this moment? I'm investing my time and my energy at this Mark. So how do we make this a mutually beneficial interaction? And really at the end of the day is what can I take from what we've learned in the past to apply it now here and get Mark talking about more in depth about this topic or that topic. And then the hearing piece is really critical, because I think you're not only doing it with your ears, but you're doing it with all your senses. You're seeing, hey, how's the body language? How's the eye contact? What's their energy and enthusiasm level? These are all things that just kind of wash over us or wash over you, right? You know, a lot of times people just don't even recognize it's happening, but that's part of the real important aspect of hearing, because I'll give you a very quick example. I was at an event, happened to be going on at the same time as South by Southwest, but it was an event for brand, some of the top brands in, you know, all different types of products. Think Gatorade and Pepsi and Reebok, et cetera. And I watched the first day. I got invited. I was an invited guest. I wasn't speaking or anything. I just went there. Guy thought I would really enjoy it. And I, as an introvert, wanted to run the first day. Like, oh my God, this is super painful. Because they were like all trying to figure, well, what's the ripple effect? Why do we care? And, you know, I'm there. I'm like, I wanted to just like sink into the into the wall. But I paid attention to all the conversations that were happening around me. And I watched. how there was so much ego measuring about what person A was doing better than person B, or why our company was so much better than your company. And there was just this really ego-driven back and forth. And I started the conversation on the second day by talking to a few people. I just, walked up similar to you. So what do you like about Austin? First time in Austin, what do you think? And then about their work, really trying to figure out, so what led you down this path from a career perspective? I'm curious. And what I actually found, there was a guy that actually runs an agency. And he said, I probably had hundreds of conversations in the course of this year alone, just at these different events. And he said, you're the only person that actually asked me why I care about what I do. And he said, it really stood out. I got this really nice email from him post event and said how the interaction really made a difference to him. And he said, what I really learned in that time from you is that I want to connect more authentically. I'm going through the motions. And what I realized was when I was able to capture what he was saying and what was really behind the words, I said, the thing that I really admired about you was how when you talked about this and this, your eyes lit up. And it was just obvious to me, you're on the path you should be. The biggest smile you could have ever gotten from somebody. And he was in. I almost couldn't shake him for a while because he just wanted to hang and just continue the conversation. But that's what really hearing means, right? Looking at all of those things and figuring out, how do I apply this in such a way that really helps someone? And that can be powerful, not only just in networking situations, but even when you're interviewing for your next job, you're trying to find out about a company you might want to work for, doing the things that you do. I mean, obviously, all of the career advice that you give people so many great strategies. And when they get in front of these folks and they have an opportunity to have the conversation, that's the time to shine, right? And it's the opportunity that they have to really make something out of nothing.
You use the magic word there. Help. When I would go to network, my goal is, how can I help someone else?
Yep.
And if I put the focus on them and expect nothing in return, it just kind of works. In fact, it takes the load off of me. And I don't, I am more comfortable. So let me ask you this.
Sure.
One of my big things is I'm a big time introvert, although no one ever knows it. I have to manage my energy.
Yes.
I have to bracket time beforehand to get away from people. And when I'm done.
Recharge.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to get away from people.
Yeah.
Do you do the same?
Oh, I do. Yeah. I have to remind myself every day that I need to kick myself in the hindquarters to get out there and connect, because otherwise, left to my own druthers, I won't. And when I speak at an organization or I'm at a networking function where there's a lot of conversations happening, it is a hugely energy draining situation for me. I'm enthused in the moment and I'm excited about it, but it is amazing how much it takes out of me. And so I have tried to build in a lot of gaps in my schedule and in my time, whether it's events or whether it's the recovery period afterwards, I have to recharge. And part of that is, especially being introverted, it does take that. And it does take finding a little bit of quiet, a little bit of space to kind of get the head right again and get inspired and motivated to get back out there. But even at that event I was just speaking of, I had to step outside. And sometimes just stepping outside for 3 to 5 minutes, just kind of watching the wind blow through the trees or, feeling the sun on your face and then kind of going back in, those little respites, when you can learn to appreciate those become like your, sort of small moments of sanctuary, then it helps you as an introvert be ready to get back in and do it again. But I'm very much like you. I spent this past week with the event that I spoke at, I did the keynote and did 2 breakout sessions, also hosted a roundtable. I was burned by the end. And then they're like, hey, we need you to come to the happy hour at the end because everybody wants to talk to you. And it's like, oh. And so what I did is I got out of my last session and then I took my shoes off and I walked around my hotel room for a few minutes, got a nice ice cold glass of water. And then I went down and I just said, I got to do this. I got to be ready and I got to be prepared. And I'm grateful that I did. But when I was done with that, first thing I wanted to do was go find quiet somewhere.
Yeah. Several years ago, I had a client who had to speak like 5 times in 2 days. And I told him, it was a big sales conference. I told him, I said, between each of your talks, go back to your room and get your favorite book, even if it's for half an hour. I picked that up from Susan Cain's book, Quiet. She has the concept of restorative niches, is finding those things that restore you. And I'm a big outdoors guy. So if I take a phone call,
me too,
I take it on my mirror door, my rooftop. When I still lived in Austin, it was in my condo, just outside my condo, which was right by Barton Springs. We had a bridge across a little hollow. Well, I take all my phone calls out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? It just made me feel better.
Yeah, absolutely. I've done a lot of research in brain science, and in these small little respites, they rewire and they re-equip and they recalibrate you and get you ready. I heard years ago that, even having just some sort of, there's all these different, tools and puzzles that you can get now off Amazon, but even just the Rubik's Cube on your desk, or you're just flipping the things for a period of time, has a meditative approach to, resetting your brain, sort of getting you back where you need to be, kind of back into your space. And it is that opportunity for you to find that moment of peace and reset. And it's so important. And I find that it's true not only for the people that I know that I coach and I work with that are introverted, but I also know that it's super important for the extroverts, because they have, they expend a tremendous amount of energy. Some extroverts, some that we know shall remain nameless, suck out all the energy and oxygen in the room, and then they just have nothing left for anybody. And so that's one of the challenges and problems that, they run into. So you've got to find these things that work for you and keep looking until you find the one or two things that does work.
Yeah. So, okay, I meet somebody. How do I convert that into a deeper relationship?
Great question. Don't send them a LinkedIn request, please. I know that's controversial. People do it, just without thinking anymore. Survey says that I could send you a LinkedIn invitation. You may not know me and it won't matter. You're probably 75% of the people out there will accept it because they either don't know any better, they don't want to appear rude, or they don't want to miss an opportunity. And the problem is that becomes almost, it's becoming like Facebook for business, and that's not a good thing. I'm always very protective of my network and who I bring into it. But I would say the people that you bring in and that you have a good interaction with, acknowledge why you found them interesting, or what you learned from them, or the connection point that you picked up, and express a deep interest in continuing to expand upon that. And I find that the more straightforward and honest that you are with people is, I don't know where this might go. It might become a business relationship. It might become a friendship. We just might end up having a lot in common and maybe able to help each other down the road. But my ask to you would be, would you like to continue the conversation? Absolutely no pressure if you don't, but I really enjoyed the time together. And I suspect if we got together for lunch or coffee or got on another Zoom, we would probably continue that momentum. At least I'd hope so. I find that people, they rise up to meet you there because it's so unusual and different for people to actually have that conversation. They might get the LinkedIn request. They might get a follow-up email suggesting next steps, but nobody ever picks up the phone and says, hey, let's have a conversation. Let's talk. And let me tell you why you really stood out to me from that event or in meeting you, and why it's been important or why it's been on my mind. I think that's true for people that you just meet. It's also true for people that have been in your network for a long time that you haven't engaged in a while, and own it and just say, you know what? We've been on LinkedIn together for 10 years or 5 years, or we connected at that conference and we said we'd get together and we never did. That is on me. I would like to rectify that. Would you be willing to, set up a call, have a lunch, do something to, continue the conversation? Because I really was interested in getting to know you a little bit deeper. I find that today, and it's hard for guys, especially, men, it's not normally comfortable. Tell another guy, you got to get over that. You just got to get over it. Because at the end of the day, nothing happens until you make it happen. And the reality is you've got to be forward thinking about this and say, this is why I'd like to get together with you. And you will be surprised at how that ripples back to you.
Yeah, I think it all just comes down to building relationships. And yeah. I mean, I said, I live outside of Guadalajara, Mexico. And one of my techniques, because I'm learning Spanish, so if I go to Vino America to buy my wine, when I walk out of there, I always say, puedes tomar el resto del día libre. You can have the rest of the day off. And they go, oh, gracias. I say, so buen chico. I'm a good guy. And over time, number one, they remember me.
Sure.
Two, they realize I'm trying to learn Spanish. And now I even have conversations with them on what I'm learning and what I'm learning right now with Spanish. And of course, I always ask them, you know, todo gratis hoy, everything free today? quiero 100% descuenta, 100% discount. And therefore they realize that I'm just trying to make them smile. And so they're yeah. more willing to interact with me. Or I even have some people ask me, can I have the rest of the day off?
Yeah.
Right. But the idea is starting the conversations with people I don't know, very little at a time. And over mm-hmm. time, I've developed relationships with any number of people I do business with here. The lady I buy my pineapples from. And it in doing it just a little bit at a time, because I'm not fluent. In fact, I'll never be fluent in Spanish. And these people don't speak English. So it's trying to develop that relationship just a little bit at a time.
Yeah, you know, those are small investments, right? I think at the end of the day, most people forget that it takes a lot of effort over a long period of time to make a difference, right? And you know, there's studies that say between, you know, 6 and 8, 7 and 10 interactions before you become memorable to that person. But what those studies don't say is what those interactions are. Most of them are surface connections. What you're doing is stepping outside of your comfort zone, you're creating a level of personality and some familiarity almost instantaneously. And you're doing it with a good bit of, you know, humor and cheer. People remember that. And you ultimately will always be served so much better than people who walk in and just treat them like, you know, this is one of, you know, 50 things they have to do today. You know, they look beyond them, you know, and that's one of the challenges. I remember a barista that used to work at the Starbucks near my house, and somebody that goes there at the same time, you know, had seen me come in and I'm greeted, you know, they're just very friendly. Don't do it for anybody else. And I remember this gentleman asking me, he was sitting at the table one day, and he said, Steve, how do you get that kind of reaction? And I said, what kind of reaction? And like, oh my God, they act like, you know, this is the greatest thing that happened to them all day. And I said, because I make them feel like it's the greatest thing that happens to me all day. Yeah. I said, I've done that every single time. And you will not believe it, the level of appreciation people get, especially in the service industry, when somebody goes out of their way to do things differently. And if it happens there, then why wouldn't it happen for your business? Why wouldn't it happen in your job search? Why wouldn't it happen in you trying to build and strengthen your network? When you are trying to do what you can to make it the best moment of that person's day by you playing a little role in that, creating that little bit of a ripple, well, you may have just completely changed their attitude for that day. You may have completely taken a bad day and turned it into something much better. So that to me is probably one of the most important things that you can, you know, possibly do.
Yeah, you remind me. I used to go to the Coffee Bean Tea Leaf on South Lamar. And it's now a veterinarian.
Yeah.
But
I used to go there all the time.
So yep. When I go in there and I'd order a small cup of coffee and they say, do you want room for cream? And my response is, no, I'm a real man. Real men don't put stuff in their coffee. You get them to smile. And yeah. and you make it memorable, and you're not a jerk.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's always, or, you know, if I, even when I go back to Austin, I always say, it's not free today. It's Friday. I thought Friday was free day. What's wrong here? And of course, you know, again, my goal is to put a smile on their face.
That's right. Yeah. Just do it different. I mean, that's the best advice I think that, you know, people can walk away with. And I think for those, you know, kind of going back to where you asked that first question, which is those people that aren't super comfortable getting back out there, this is one way to do it. Yeah. Does it feel maybe a little scary? Does it feel like you might come across and might get rejected? Yeah. Rejection's part of life. You know, I got a word for that. Next. Somebody who doesn't get your humor, somebody doesn't want to smile, somebody's having a worse day, then, you know, give them a little bit of grace and say, hey, it's not for them. I'm not everybody's cup of tea, and that's okay. And move on to the next person. I promise you, if you go out there with an open and an approachable way about yourself, and you're really trying to make it easy to connect with you, the world tends to throw more people in your path that are like you in that respect, right? I think that when we walk around with our head down, looking at our phones, and we're got the gray cloud and we got the curmudgeon-y face, you know, on, the world seems to throw more of those people in our way. And then we wonder why life sucks, you know, at the end of the day. And that's part of the problem, is that you've got to, in order to make things happen, you've got to make them happen.
Well, Steve, this has been great. If someone wanted to reach out and find you and contact you, how might they do that?
Thank you. I appreciate that. My website is Ripple Central, RIPPLE Central, CENTRAL.com. You can learn about all the work that I do there. I'm on most social platforms as at Ripple On, RIPPLEON, on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. So that's generally the best way. You know, if you happen to reach out to me and you want to connect, feel free to do so on Facebook. I'll accept almost anybody over there. You know, LinkedIn, you're welcome to follow me and let's get acquainted. And then I'll eventually, you know, we'll find a reason to get connected on LinkedIn. But those are the best ways to do it. You know, but I really appreciate you having me on, Mark. I mean, I'm a big fan of everything that you're doing. And I'm got to say, you know, to your audience, which they probably already know this, but you're one of the most sincere and nicest guys I ever met in Austin. I mean, you give me a lot of grief from time to time, which I loved, but at the end of the day, you're one of the guys that I knew that I could always count on for an honest opinion or always a kind word. And that is so few and far between in today's world. And I am grateful, even despite the fact you escaped the country to get away from me, that we have stayed in contact.
Oh, God, my head's now so big, I won't be able to get out of the room. Well, Steve, and we'll be talking in about 2 weeks when I'm back up in Austin. And
yeah, we're getting together for sure.
So
I'll see if it's come down in size by that point. How about that?
Well, Steve, thank you very much for being on the Repurpose Your Career podcast.
Thank you very much for having me, and Ripple on.
I hope you'll check out Steve's book and his website, Ripple Central. I really enjoy Steve's strategies to developing relationships. I've been a big fan for many years. Take a moment, go to careerpivot.com and sign up for the weekly Career Pivot Insights newsletter, which is sent out every Sunday. You will get a weekly update on this podcast, white papers, and new blog posts. When you subscribe, you will receive my latest white paper, Ageism, The Last Acceptable Bias. While there, do not forget to check out the Career Pivot community, which can be found at careerpivot.com/community. Feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn. Look for Career Pivot on LinkedIn. Thank you for listening all the way to the end of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. You will find all the show notes at careerpivot.com/episode-318. You can also subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Podbeam, Overcast, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon Music, and lots of other places where podcasts can be found. In fact, this podcast can be found on the Repurpose Your Career podcast channel on YouTube. Hope to see you next Monday for another episode of Repurpose Your Career podcast.